Right, this is going to be another episode of Counterpoints. There might actually be guests again in the future, but all right, I won't give the total spoiler reason why. We don't actually, by the way, we're also pretty good at just talking. Like, if you haven't noticed, Maniac Central, one of the few people who, because he's been on the desk, and on the desk you are forced within the confines of brevity. He actually, like me, enjoys when you can just sort of go off for 10 minutes and be like, and another point, and then you just keep going, because it is fun to just do that. If you're thinking a lot about the game, I've always thought that is the flaw of the desk, is that we've made it kind of limited. Like, there's a reason why I always tried to flex that. I wish it was like Dota, where if you've ever seen that, they get to do the desk, and then they would even usually do the draft as well, mate. Like, they would have like 20 minute segments to like break down all amazing stuff. So okay, we might have some guests in the future, but spoiler, here's the problem. Me and Maniac, let's just say we're professionals with how we schedule this show, and a lot of people in our field, our peers and colleagues that we know and love, they might not be able to accommodate our professional schedule. Let's just say that, Maniac. They might not want to do it. You know? Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. They want to do their shows at 6 p.m., guys. So it's limited as to who you can get. So the good news is, even though at the moment, I have to say, like I pointed out in the last episode, look, the stakes at Pro League aren't bonkers, boys. It's more to me, actually. I'm kind of viewing this more like I'm trying to figure out what people's day-to-day form is like. Like, because you have the triple bracket, it's more like things like, I'm trying to say, what were your expectations? How good was your group? And how did you do relative to that? But I have to say, some of the more interesting angles actually have been the lesser teams and the teams that are sort of like, oh, are they actually decent? Oh, that's interesting. Like, how do they match up, etc.? So I'm not really like so hyped on the big teams, but I think we've got some good ones we can talk about this week and some interesting angles, certainly. So I thought what we'd do, Maniac, you know what, my style, we don't beat around the bush. We could tease into it, but let's just start, because I actually think whether the rumour, which I'm about to reference, existed or not, Heroic would already have been top of my list to talk about, mate, because even before we get into the supposed rumour, which sounds like it's happening apparently, I have to say, think about how the major went for Heroic, Maniac, where they were one of the teams I had as like, maybe they could sneak into the playoffs. They almost did, and then they blew it after sort of like, they lost a couple of close games and they just blew that second Swiss system. And I have to say, mate, that aspect of this team just remains. Like, if you go and look at all three series they lost, they could have like won them all 2-0. These are ridiculous. Like, they actually could be in the playoffs. Instead, they are eliminated from the tournament and will not even be relevant. Like, this is what's actually quite interesting about this squad is, obviously, it's like an unusual roster put together like last minute, because they had all those situations where they thought they were getting Sun Pius and they didn't, and then they had to sort of pivot and get people. And a fair play, I think they did a decent enough job GMing into this position. People don't know, they sort of won the war for Kixon. Apparently a bunch of teams were in the mix for this guy and potentially going to try and get him, etc. So They're certainly a team that has my interest, but we'll get to the rumour part in a minute. Mate, there's a reason why, even if that wasn't there, my take now would be this team is one piece away because, oh, bro, they're so close to actually being good at CS, but there's a reason they lose all these games. Like, you put them in a close game, you bet the house on the other team, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that from the very beginning, and which I date to Katowice for me, that's where the hype for this lineup started. That's where they defied expectations. Yeah. I think they benefited from Vitality completely crashing in that tournament. And I think that might have inflated where we saw Heroic just a little bit. Like, the game against Vitality was great, and I think that's where a lot of people kind of noticed Heroic and started paying attention to what they were doing. And the end of the Vertigo game, obviously in Katowice, was very impressive. But I've always had a little voice in my head that was telling me Vitality is shitting the bed right now. Like, sure, Heroic is doing what they have to do, but Vitality is shitting the bed. And so I always took Heroic with a pinch of salt. I maybe had measured expectations compared to the rest. And then I thought that after this sort of a honeymoon period, I don't even know if Katowice is a honeymoon period, but let's just say they did better than what we had expected.
Sure.
What happened at the major was a cold shower. And I always wondered, I wonder how is this team going to transition from, hey, we have nothing really prepared, so let's just give it our best shot and let's have a good time and let's keep the spirits high and it's going to be great, to we actually work on our game plan and we install our philosophy and we agree on how we want to play Counter-Strike. And I feel like it's a transition that is very treacherous for teams, especially new teams that are formed with like a million different pieces. And I think they might struggle a little bit in that. I have to say, I watched some of their games here at Pro League. I wasn't always on all of the games. For example, I wasn't on the couch or the cast during the Big and the Ninjas in Pyjamas series, which are both equally problematic. I mean, there's no way around it. Like, the Pro League campaign is a
especially an IP. Like, look, if you know where an IP's expectations are, guys, they're just rebuilding. And remember, they haven't had any sticker money for a while. Like, that's not supposed to be an IP. Like, that's really alarming you're losing that team because they don't look very good, mate.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I mean, I don't particularly think that losing to Big is much more.
No, but at least that, at least if I look at the roster, like, Big could be something one day. Like, there's not terrible players on there, but I look at the Nipot, mate. It's like, who's going to be a top 20 player from this? What, the wrinkled guy? Maybe? That's a maybe, you know?
I know what you mean. We can talk about it later. I do think Wrinkle's got something. He's got an attitude, at least.
No, it's not like just here's what people don't know. This is where fans always fucking zig when they should zag, right? You know, obviously, Nip's done, like if we were to write down the last, like, Peter, I told someone did it on Reddit for Furia. If you wrote down the last roster moves Nip's made, it's absolute ass. Like, even when they signed some good, they misused them, but then they've signed loads of bad players. Like, the joke is, though, the Wrinkle guy, if you actually don't know, guys, is someone that, as far as I know, was like a threat scouting. And actually, if you ever go, there was, like, behind the scenes, if you go enough behind the scenes, a tiny bit of hype for this guy that he actually could be good. So that's what actually, I don't put that down to, like, Nipper idiots. Like, that actually seems like they actually got a half. They might have gotten a decent player there. That might end up being a good player, actually.
Yeah, and they might just end up doing other roster changes. It might just be in transition period where they're trying to zero in on
I also think that's true as well. It's a makeshift roster. Come on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But just to touch on the heroic aspect as well, you were right. There is a pattern that is extremely infuriating if you're a heroic fan, if you're a heroic player or staff, is that in three of the series that they lose, they actually win the first map and they're in a decent-ish position to win the second one. That is literally 1, 2, 3 times in a row. It's a complexity game. The second map is a 24-rounder that they lose towards the very end as well. Against Big, of course, the second map is overtime that they lose, and against NIP, it's 10-13. So that in itself, I feel like, is incriminating to have that happen three times in the span of a week of tournament. Like, what happened one time is fine. Anyone can just botch a lead. That's fine. When it happens three times, you start probably wondering, okay, what are the causes? Like, is the calling different? Do they feel any different when they're about to win? Do they let the foot off the gas pedal? Do they relax a little bit too much? It's like, there's a whole lot of questions that from the outside is kind of complicated to say. I do think that, and that is very relevant to their situation, I do think that sometimes it is too individualistic, the way they play the game. And it might pay off because you can have a nerd that pops off. I think Tezzes has been a positive surprise. I wasn't rating Tezzes a whole lot after the heroic full Danish campaign. And I got to say, I was wrong. Or I was partly wrong. I'll take some of the blame on that one, because I think he's actually been stepping up quite a lot with this lineup. But Nerds is very hit or miss. When he hits, he can win games on his own, but there are moments where he just has no impact. And I think the game against NIP is one of these sad examples where, just look at the game, you think, wait, hold on, what is Nerds doing? Where is he? Where is my superstar? Where are the rounds he's giving me? We had him on the sofa a couple times. I was doing the Heroic versus FlyQuest game, and the 16-12 on Nuke is like a Nerds masterclass. I know it's just an overtime win, but it's a Nerds masterclass on the CT side. Like, he just played them outside. He had 2 or 3 different fully purchased, fully gun round where he had multi-kills. Like, it was an absolute clinic. And that sticks with me. But then what happens when it doesn't come through against a Big and Nip? So, I don't know. I think you're right about the one roster change away from, and I'm not going to say success, I'm going to say interest, curiosity. And also, let's just fucking address it. It isn't any good for any team when a rumor comes out of the woods when you are midway through a tournament and then someone puts out
a roster change. I will say, though, straight fire to Maxter from Nip with the banter. When everyone thought, oh, we're all chatting shit. So then when Nikodos shouted, he was just like, shut up your bench. Like, that's actually bad. That's a bagger. Listen, Swedes aren't really known for like that good try. That's pretty good, man. Because I agree. If you say that to them, like, you have to sort of just look at your shoes, like, he's got me on that one. And he's like, yeah.
No,
so
I know.
Your confidence is going to be fucked, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So it really is a shame. I think for him, just like on an idiosyncratic level, just to play the tournament, thinking or knowing or half knowing that there's already someone in the pipeline to come through. But I guess, in terms of the ceiling of Heroic, I think everybody on the eye test agreed that while Nikodos might not be a liability completely, it's not like he's got 0.8 rating single game. That's not what's happening. But in terms of how Counter-Strike has been played at a very top level, having an AWPer whose most highlight you remember are on a rifle,
he's basically doing Zewu, so I got only half the time even on the AWP, mate.
Well, yeah, it's like, it's like a moderate Zywoo, like a mild Zywoo, like a vanilla.
I just mean in terms of how much he uses it. Like, it's not even he tries to force the AWP all the time. He knows it isn't his game, clearly.
Yeah, but the difference, I think, with Zywoo is whenever Zywoo gets on the AWP, then difference will be made. It might not be all the time. Well, it feels like it's a definite choice, whereas for Nikodo, sometimes it feels like it's sort of is surrendering. Just like, yep, I'm just going to rifle now. That gets better. And I don't even know if it's individual, because we had them on the couch. We had Hilrik on the couch. That was Nerds and Nikodos. And I asked him a couple questions about his positions on Nuke. And I think he told me something along the lines of, Kixon wanted me to go ramp because we had made some sort of preparation and we knew they were going to go there. So I actually don't know if he is, one, getting all the freedom he should to make moves, or two, if he is not using that freedom. Because I feel like the game is never really centered around him. There's very rarely a round where it is a Nikodos move. Like, there are Nerds move, sure. There are pushes. There are Tess's opening moves. I think that I see rarely Nikodos moves. And I think that probably plays as well into his level of performance.
Right, let's do it. So first of all, like, the first place you have to start with this team is obviously Nerds, right? Because that's the player who, if this team performs, will be a top 20 player on Hitchell TV. The stats tell you that. The eye test tells you that. The problem you have in this team immediately is he has to just fucking carry all the time. It's why you're right, by the way. The one flaw I have against him, if he wants to be considered as a great rifler at the level of past year's Nico or 2 years ago Axa, if he wants to be at that level, like the elite rifler, then you can't just have Halter series where I'm just off today. I'm just off my game. Because the thing about the great riflers, Nerds, is this, mate. They don't only use the crosshair to dominate. They have a way to get their game going when they're not hitting the crazy one-bullet headshot. They don't have to take the aim duels and just win them all and look insane. Like, they have, like, a second part of their game. It's actually what you call, like, the old man game that, by the way, stays with you if you're a shox. When the aim goes, which is positioning and thinking about the opponent or knowing when, for example, to, like, sync up with a teammate and do a team play, you don't always have to win an aim duel. So, already, that's a major concern I have. Now, I will say, I won't put too much at his feet right now. First of all, he carries him, as you say, on both sides, by the way. He has to frag like a motherfucker on the CT side of this team and on the T side. He's one of the aggressive players that's going in. So, generally, he is overqualified to be in this lineup. Like, there's a world where, I told before, he could have been on the Falcons or something like that. He could be on fucking Vitality, sure. Mate. He's a really good player. But him alone, he can't just carry your whole team and just expect that's enough, right? So you go and you look elsewhere. I'll tell you the first person I'm going to put all this at the feet of, although if this roster moves come through, maybe it'll be okay, is everyone wanted to praise the fuck out of Saw when he was over on Ents and say he's a genius and he figured it all out. It's like, well, it's your team now, mate. You've brought in some of the people you wanted. You've picked the pieces you wanted. Now it's time to actually develop it. Remember, Ents had a really coherent system at the end. We're all saying, was that you? Was that Snappy? What was it? Well, right now, mate, Who knows? Because we're both here. You've both got teams that look like a mess, quite frankly. So no one's really winning that one right now. So then I'd go to the obvious one, because I'm not going to do much on the old heroic boys. Like, this is where I know people on HLTV, like, you'll never get Counter-Strike. It's all right. Just keep stats watching. You'll never understand Counter-Strike, because I understood why people flamed Tessus in the old heroic, because I thought he was one of the chokers. Him and Staun were the two chokers for me. Staun wouldn't just carry the game. And then the problem Tessus had was, when it's not a pressure game, he would run round like short two, insta two bullet two people in the head, and you'd be like, round open, holy fuck, this guy's like a sleeper mega player. And then the problem is, understandably, when it's a big like semi-final of a major, you get a bit nervous, you get a bit tight, you maybe wouldn't do the same push, you wouldn't hit the same shot. And it did look also, you could even see on his face, he looked like he got affected by it. The one I've never understood is the shush one, but I get it. This is why, by the way, when players say this pot rule does not exist, fans love it and clap like a seal, because you can't see it. You guys can't see what the supports do. I think shush is a fucking really solid piece, mate. It's why, when we get to the rumour in a second, this rumour is the most slam dunk rumour, yes, do it, if possible, yes, for exactly that player. Yes, you pick the right player. There's not, you don't even need much discussion. There's no like big thing. What will it do to the team though to remove Nikodos and put a better op? Like, no, because the most obvious player to replace is Nikodos on this team. Because the difference is Shush and Tessas also are proven pieces of a team. They are cogs in a machine. And by the way, they still seem like they can operate now. Obviously, remember, they themselves are transitioning from speaking all Danish with Danish teammates. So they're getting used to playing with these people. So I will say this, like, by the way, if people don't ignore. Someone like Nerds, unless you talk about really old school config, doesn't exist in Danish Counter-Strike. You don't play that way. You have that freedom and what you have the kicks and style of calling and demo. Their system's a much more structured approach. So the only person I look at, and it's just an obvious one, even though now it's because we can tease this rumor, is the Nikodos one. Because as you say, there's so many people trying to defend this guy. But here's what I don't get is one, oh, but he has a decent rifle, though. His rifle's pretty good. Then guess what? Sounds like he shouldn't be the AWPer. So, okay, I accept your terms. He's no longer the AWPer in Heroic, right? Which player am I kicking to keep Nikodos on a rifle and get an AWPer? I'm not. It doesn't make sense. Because if you look at this team right now, the obvious piece is, the funny thing is, because the Nerds went to this team, not Falcons, they have the opposite problem to Falcons. Falcons has the AWPer, but not the star rifler. And this team has the star rifler, but not the star AWPer. So the biggest joke of all time is, the rumor goes, guys, and if you just think about where the scene's at, it seems like a very plausible one, that Dexter just comes and replaces Nikodos. And you look at that lineup on paper, and one of the reasons why, I'm not just like, that's interesting. Ooh, how would that work? But Dexter hasn't really played, and I don't even let any of that get to me, mate, because I know, like, if you ever check out, like, go watch some POVs on YouTube, guys, of Dexter. If you ever see this guy's skill set, like, he is really fucking good. Like, he is one of those people, even if you want to say that whole thing, oh, but he's toxic it up, which we can get to in a second if you want. If even if people want to shade it, and he's toxic and a bad teammate, well, you know what? I think I know why, because he knows how fucking good he is. You know what it's like when some players are like that, mate. Some players, when they know I'm always going to be the best in the server, and if you give me my gun, I will get the kills. That can make you toxic, by the way. Because essentially, in a sense, you actually, it's a different way of seeing the game. It's how some stars see it. You see the game as, in a way, you think I'm being toxic or selfish when I say, give me my gun, give me my spot, do what I say. But what I'm actually telling you is, I will deliver though. Like, look, I'll give you the results. I'll win the round. Look at my numbers. I'll give you the rest of the system. Now, you can go into a whole separate thing of like, oh, how does it affect the team culture? That's all great. First of all, in this team, Maniac, we can't have that conversation. What fucking team culture? The team's a mess. We're getting bombed out of Pro League in fucking last place. And then on the Nikodos one, where you shaded it in there, you were, as usual, fucking gentle Maniac. You're just too kind. Mate, you were like, and he's not really getting his positions. Why the fuck would he? Why would anyone take this team and go, you know what, restructure this team around Nikodos? Like, bro, it's been years since Copenhagen Flame. No, but that's what I mean. Like, no one would do it. Like, I'll tell you what, Maniac, here's my trade for you. You know what? We can make this a straight up one for one trade. Trade Nikodos to OG and give him anything he wants, mate. Build the whole team around him. Give him a fucking foot rub before the game. Have a fucking ticker tape parade if he carries a half. Because I tell you what, get him out of this team, mate. Like, this team, it's just so, if this rumor is true, it's a slam dunk, you do it, in my opinion. Yeah, Anyone saying it's a gamble, the gamble's worth it. When you say it's a gamble, guys, don't, just because it could go badly doesn't mean you don't do it. What you ask is the upside of the gamble worth it? And I think if you look at the idea of, if this works and Dexter is like OG Dexter, I'm not even going to say the one from Spirit years ago. That was years ago in CSGO. If he's like OG Dexter, this team will actually potentially fly, mate. They'll actually be good at this point in time. I think you'll be really fire.
I mean, the upside of the gamble is interesting enough. It's intriguing enough. I'll put it this way. On the Dexter angle, I think it's interesting to talk about like the possible toxicity, because the counter argument that I have, because I used to be a huge fan of Dexter. Like, honestly, when he was in OG, I was very, very big aficionado of his playstyle, his gameplay. And you could see that he was better than what they were doing. He was better than the results they were having. My problem is, why hasn't he become or received any other opportunity until now? Like, that's the only thing. You know, when you're saying you can only be as toxic as you're good, right? It's like an unspoken rule in life.
Actually,
it's not just kind of it's probably in life in general.
Yeah,
I do think he probably fared a little bit far from the coast on that one, and sometimes he stepped over the line. Otherwise, a man that strong would never be teamless. Like, he's been teamless for a long time now. I think it's been more than a year that we've had an HGTV game that's actually recorded for him, which is kind of crazy considering how strong he is. So I think at some point, at the end of his OG stint, he probably overdid it with like the main character syndrome, and this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do because I'm the best. So he probably overdid it.
Okay.
Now, granted, you can learn from that, and that would be fine. There's plenty of profiles in the history of Counter-Strike who have started slightly too toxic, who had to put some water in their wine, calm down a little bit, and then come in as a more like gentle, disciplined version. That's fine. Maybe that's what happened to Dexter. I would be happy. I like the guy. I talked to the guy. I bumped into him a couple times. Sure, rough around the edges. Not exactly always diplomatic. You could say the opposite of what I am sometimes. But I could see that he had a true interest for the game, a true passion for the game, and he's got something for it. So perfect, that's fine. The other angle to that is I think this would test Kixon's leadership, because in the current heroic lineup, I don't believe there is anybody that can be like a grenade thrower in this team. I think Nerds can sometimes be a bit, you know, spontaneous, a bit crazy. He's got some banter on, he flames the opponent. That's
by the
cool.
way, just in case people don't know, Maniac doesn't literally mean throw the utility. It means the idea that like cause like drama, a throw a little drama bomb in the middle of everyone, and you have to deal with it. Yeah, just in case people...
Be a disruptor, right? So I don't think anybody currently on Heroic is a disruptor.
No, it doesn't seem like it. Sure.
No, exactly. Maybe Nerds can be a little bit crazy, but I don't think so. So if you're bringing Dexter for Kixon, you have to know that the dynamics of the team are going to change.
Sure.
It doesn't mean that it's going to go badly. It doesn't mean it's going to change for the worse. But you're going to have someone who, and here we're making the assumption that we're getting a Dexter that is close to what he was or who he was in OG, which is an assumption. I don't know how he's going to show up. Let's assume he is probably the same kind of profile. That's going to have to be someone you need to manage. You need to deal with. You need to manage his attitude, his playstyle, his philosophy of the game, how he affects the rest of the team as well, because Tessis and Shush are relatively quiet guys as well. Can they be affected by that? Can they be affected by someone who has a tendency sometimes to rage next to them? I think there are a couple of challenges that you need to tackle, but I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it anyway to give it a shot. If you are Heroic, I think it pushes your ceiling much higher than it was before with Nykodos. So you go ahead, try. And for Kixon, it's a really cool opportunity to showcase to the world that you can be an IGL of a strong character and a strong carry. Not every IGL can deal with a strong carry and a strong character like that. Not everyone could do it. For him, that would be a great moment. Take Dexter in, make him work as a part of your system as well. Give him the freedom and the possibility to have the impact he knows he can have. I see it as a win-win. But I think it's a bigger if than what we make it out to be.
Here's why, if you're both Saw and Kixon, you want this move to happen. With all the baggage attached to it. Because one, you get to be the genius that fixed and rehabilitated Dexter. Already, by the way, insane feather in your cap for coach or IGL. Secondly, if you're Kixon and you're getting banged out of these tournaments without even making the playoffs, you're not getting the runs you want. If I tell you... You don't get to know, essentially it's like I pretend I don't tell you the name of the player, I just tell you like what I'm offering you in the server. If I tell you what Kixon, I won't tell you the circumstances, you have to just accept it or not at the face value of what I'm saying. Do you want two top 20 players? One's an aggressive rifler, one's an carry AWPer. You just snap my hand off, we say in English. They're like, yeah, please, yes, I'll sign whatever it's... Because mate, everything else, we can figure it out. You know what I mean? We've got Saw. Again, Saw, if you want those big books, I heard he went for a decent amount of money, mate, to Heroic, and there's a reason why, like, he was going to that team. And I've even heard he didn't do what the fucking Snappy and players did, which is they were sort of like, you know, if you can match, we'll think about the offer. I heard his show shit was like, hey, guys, I've got the sick offer from Heroic. I'm off to, like, make a team over there. He also thought he was taking his boys with him, by the way, and a bunch of those players, which even to me looks like, I know it's everyone trying to make, like, Snappy was disloyal. This guy's trying to take the fucking team with him, mate. Like, Snappy was in a world that's like, maybe I go, maybe I stay, maybe someone comes, maybe they go to Heroic and I build. So already I'll say, if you're Saw, you made this bed for yourself, mate. So you should definitely want this person because he can get you out of trouble. He can quickly make it. So we all forget about this little 2 months. And we just remember, hey, this guy's, hey, he had success in Ents. And then with almost none of the same players in Heroic, he's killing it. That's going to make your rep sick. On the angle of Dexter, here's the best part, Maniac. This will actually tell you if he's toxic or not. Are you ready for why? Because if he's not good enough, and he isn't like he was in OG and CSGO, if he's still an arsehole, it's the easiest cut of all time. At that point in time, you solved the problem, right? If he's a twat he isn't doing the numbers. I always used to say, people don't know, this is how I used to, as like a friend, coach Simple in the hard days of Na'Vi before he was the GOAT. I would tell him, mate, when you go toxic on your teammates, you have to carry the game now, mate. I don't ever want to hear you've gone toxic and been a shit to, I won't say which teammate, and then I see in the game you shit the bed. It's like, after that, mate, they should be toxic to you. Like, you didn't fucking earn that status. Because I do think this is where I've actually watched a lot of POVs of Dexter. He's one of those players I tunneled in on as soon as he came along in, like, fucking that team just when Spirit was on the rise, basically. And what I have to say is this. People don't realise, stop watching fucking HLTV ratings, guys. They're only a rough, loose guy. They can't can't actually tell you the difference. A Titchell TV rating can't tell you what is fundamentally different about two players with 1.25 rating. They won't even tell you is one more aggressive, is one more passive, is one more utility, does one player, it won't tell you anything. When you watch this guy's AWPing, his mechanics are so smooth. One of the things I love about AWP, it's actually something I love about Wonderful, is they don't just do the flick and you either hit or you don't. It's like I can see like the smooth part of the flick where it's like you are always going to hit if you have the time. You know what I mean? Maybe the other guy kills you in time, you get flashed, you get pushed off, the riflers double peek you. But it's like I can tell these shots are going to hit. And man, if you actually have a player like that, you can do so much with an AWP like that. They're not the same streaky player. You can build the whole team around them. So I think if you look right now, especially in an AWP weak game, bro, there are like, when he's at his peak, there are like three or four people in the world can do what this guy can do. This guy can cook. I mean, as you said, if you ever go back to those OGs, this is where I was totally sold on him. I already thought before, he's a real talent, you know, let's see how it works out. Guys, it wasn't just in spirit. In OG, if you ever go and look, they are just like barely fucking up all these majors, and he is hard carrying them. Yeah. Like every game, this guy's putting on a fucking, you know, hard hat in a mine, just going to work. And then the problem is the rest of the people in this analogy, I guess, just fuck up their part of the mine and the mine collapses in on him. Like, but he's doing his job, mate. He's doing the best he can. So to me, here's the way I'd frame it. It's like how we were saying here about the gamble. There's an old player, I could use Simple, by the way, as an example of this, because I'll also just say this, by the way. Before Simple joined Na'Vi, or before Na'Vi became the best, everyone focused on him being toxic. And they were like, maybe that's why the team doesn't win. Oh, I don't know if I'd sign him, he'll ruin and kill your whole team. Everyone now, when he's the GOAT, can look back, oh, yep, of course, Simple, yeah, well, he would have grown. He was always going to mature. No, no, no one gave him that opportunity. Everyone said Simple's toxic forever. It's kind of like Smooie or whatever. Like, fuck this guy. Why would you ever bring him to a team? Like, it doesn't matter how good you are. So I will just say, there's an angle I used to have on this North American League of Legends player. He's called Dardock, who had the worst reputation ever. He was in a whole bunch of teams that were like, say, third or fourth best in his region and could have been like a champion. He would be mega. You'd watch him in the game. He had an amazing like instinct for ganking as a jungler. And he would like just fight. He essentially always had the confidence. Here's another thing I love about toxic guys. Real toxic players, because it often comes from a bit of selfishness or like overconfidence in yourself. What I love is when they actually can like, fucking, they don't get, here's the thing people don't get about Dexter. I'll shade it a different way. Bro, who the fuck rates OG lineups? OG's where people like Nexa go and get depressed, mate. OG's where if you're Neofrag, you go, and because you're not calling in check or whatever anymore, you don't have the team built, you just collapse, your career goes to shit, you're off. Even Flames after Alexi B was just all right in fucking OG. He wasn't some like player, oh my God, top 20, but no, everyone's like, you know, he's got skills and his game's a bit sort of streaky, he's probably a bit too aggro, but is he the right pickup? Like, OG isn't the fucking team I'm looking at and going, if you can't make it an OG, how are you going to make it elsewhere? Like, if anything, mate, I look at OG and I'm like, what the fuck did that org do for the last 4 years? You just pissed away all your talents. Like, the joke is half your talents, by the way, now are in the best teams in the world, like Flames, fucking Nexa. Like, give me a break. This Dexter guy, and that might be, it's fucking across the board, people. So I think this, that's a good sign in a fucked up way, Maniac. Because I don't think, this is what I'll never buy. I could believe he's toxic. It wasn't Dexter that made the other players play like shit in OG.
No.
Mates. So if he can play like that when they're playing like shit, that's in its own way. That shows the flaws pretty fucking good. His mental's pretty good, if you know what I mean. Not maybe in the like kind way, but like he doesn't seem to crumble, if you know what I mean.
No, I agree with you. And I think it's something that we touched on in a couple of episodes. I don't know if it was 6-7 episodes back or something, but we talked about how at the end of the day, just being toxic isn't just a 0 or 1 like bipolar sort of setting where you either are toxic and the team is going to lose, or you are a good teammate and your team is going to win. Like, this is oversimplifying, right? I think I always look at it in the sense of a player's attitude and the effect it has on the people with him. And the end goal is always to win.
Sure.
And there are teams and there are players who are more equipped to deal with that kind of shit than others. There are people who don't care if someone slaps the desk when they lose. There are people who don't get affected by that. They're cool, like, because somehow their constitution, their character, their personalities, they don't really get affected by it. And there are people who actually do not handle it so well, that will regress. And it will actually impact. What if it impacts a leader? What if a leader is someone that gets affected by these kinds of, you know, toxicity, we're going to use that term, or corrosiveness? That's a problem. Then that's an issue. But it's never about just saying, oh, yeah, this player, oh, he rages, he's bad, he's negative, he's toxic. No, it's about, like, how does it work in the system that you're in? And also, I don't want to look at players as if they were just a snapshot of a personality and they're going to be the same for 10 years. Like, hopefully, you grow a little bit. You grow older, you learn how to deal with the emotions. You learn how to tap into this passion that you have and the confidence that you have, which is usually the good side of a toxic player, one that's got this superstar attitude. You tap into that positive and you're trying to learn to deal with the negative. You're trying to think about How is it affecting the people around me? Am I making my team lose? This is how I want every superstar to think. How is my behavior helping my team winning? And if the answer to that question is, I got to take charge, I got to have attitude, I got to have ego, I got to act like a champion, do it. If that's what your teams need to win, do it. You want to win, that's it. But if by your actions, you're taking 20% off the game with 3 out of 4 players next to you, then obviously this is not self-serving. That this is not in your interest at all. And I think this is how I want to look at it. I don't want to look at Dexter as just like, oh yeah, he's a single toxic individual. No, not at all. It's the question of, when put into this heroic team, what would be the effect? Will the net difference be a net positive, or would it be a net negative, even though we know he's bringing a lot to the table? That's always my way of looking at it. I never just isolate. I think people oversimplify the topic of who is toxic, who isn't, what does that mean? Like, we are just... In general, we're being very lazy with that concept and what it means to a team.
I've got two angles here. The point I was going to make about the Dardock guy is this. I used to tell people, yeah, but the thing is, when you have prodigious talent, you're not just a talent, because that's the other thing people are doing that's really unfair. That's why I say the rating thing. You're all acting like there's 10 other AWPers we can get who are just the same but not toxic. It's like, there aren't. There's a reason why we're even considering this person, which is that they actually have like exceptional talent potentially. So when you have a player like that, first of all, what I used to say about the Dardock guy was, yeah, right now maybe he's a problem. Maybe like the downside outweighs the good. But I'll tell you what, it's like a lottery ticket. Everyone who signs him is buying a lottery ticket. What they're saying is this: you know what, you don't win the lottery by default, but if I do, I'm rich, I get more than ever. So what you're saying when you sign this guy, and this is exactly the right sort of team that should gamble. No, it's not Vitality fucking signed him, guys. He's been signed to a team. It's a gamble. It's not Complexity signed him instead of Halls like that I want. It's someone where like they it's worth the gamble. What they're gambling on is, if we're the ones that tame him, fucking hell, the upside just becomes crazy. And that's where I'm going to spin it right back at the end onto Saw. Mate, if you're this coach, it can't just be tactics. It can't just be recruiting. Some of it has to be how you shape them. Here's the thing, Kicks and Saw, I don't expect him to be the leader, but I do expect you to be Saw. You've been an in-game leader, you've been a coach, you've been deep in like big tournaments now. This is where, I'll tell you what, if you put the Dexter guy onto Falcons, there's no way if Zonic's just letting him fucking run riot over the teammate. So, I mean, everyone might not like it now, but you would see not on camera one of those fucking Boros moments. That would happen, I promise you, within 2 practices or 1 LAN tournament. Like, Zonic would just tell this motherfucker, basically, like, I'm the dad, you're the adopted son, this is how rules go under my roof. And I tell you what, mate, if you don't like it, see these fucking 5 majors, I can get your ass out of here. Now, I know Saw doesn't have the majors, but that's sort of the conversation you need to be able to have, mate. Like, because otherwise, I agree with you, Minik. Maybe it's a team that doesn't like that sort of play. Maybe they can't accommodate that. Well, in that case, you'll learn your lesson now. It's time to only get the fucking super lovely people where it's all sunshines and rainbows and it's positivity and let's go team and rah, rah, rah. But I'll tell you what, and I'll end on this. Not a lot of amazing talents out there with the AWP that aren't already in teams that are like that. Where is that guy, by the way? Because I'll tell you the other thing about AWPer. One last thing to say, and this is why I purposely drew the analogy to a jungler in League of Legends. Right? In League of Legends, famously, because the jungler can only be in one spot at one time, but everyone wants the jungler to help so they can have a numbers advantage and win their lane. Everyone always flames the jungler no matter what when they're losing. I'll tell you what, AWPers also get a lot of flame, because I've always said the reason that role is so hard to carry in is it's binary. Like, when you miss with the AWP maniac, you don't tend to leg shot them and do half the damage. You miss, you get nothing. So when you miss with an AWP, it's like being goalkeeper and letting in goals in football. It doesn't matter how well you played the rest of the game. Everyone remembers that miss and they go, fuck, we would have won the game if you'd hit that one. And I'll tell you what, that's the one area that actually I don't worry about Dexter, mate. I mean, everyone else go, ah, oh, but it hasn't played a sort. Guys, just here's what you have to do in future. If you want to tell me you don't want a move, suggest me a name. Suggest me a name instead. Because I want to know which other player I'm signing to. Like, can you even think of one? What other AWPer can I sign? Come on, give me one.
I have one in mind. Come on. I have not given up on Zortik quite yet. I think
But the problem with him is it just seems like he can never leave these fucking teams.
Yeah, that's my problem. Like, I haven't.
I know what you mean.
I swear
he's very good.
Like, I think his English. I'm not saying he could do like a fucking dissertation in English, but I think his level is like essential enough, basic enough to play Counter-Strike. So I don't know if he's got just ties into his team. He's never going to leave Bed Boom or Dakor or whatever. But fucking hell, man, he was good in Forza.
Yeah, he was.
He was in a similar position as Dexter was in OG, which is obviously sure. He's not going to win. Obviously, he's not going to go deep in playoffs, but holy shit, he is better than the level he's playing at.
Yes.
And I know there was some rumor about him when the EG Mega...
By the way, I can tell you that literally, it was going to happen. Like, it essentially was all but done. And here's the thing, I've said it before, but it's enough times past, I can say it now. Just like you've all seen that big scandal with Forza, like, wait a minute, so Forza has some connection to... The stupidest thing ESL did was, it seems like they already picked off the big dogs. They took Gambit and VP and told them, you can't have your team because he's got the connections. The sponsor of Forza was Lukoil for a long time. I think they might even have had like ownership capacity or something. I haven't looked into it, right? But basically, I was told what happened was, Maniac, that team was real. They were going to make that team with... By the way, Elige wasn't going to call. He was going to that team. Electronic was going. Jax was going. Go ask your boy Jax, by the way. He'll tell you. Well, I don't know if he will tell you, actually. I can't say that because I can't know that, to be fair. I meant that more colloquially, like he'll tell you, like who the fuck knows, right? But what I'll tell you is this, as far as I know, because EG at the time, if you remember, all those people got fired at the top of EG because they were incompetent, like they just didn't look into it. And I think last minute, maybe, I guess they were going to like do the contract or something. They were like, wait a minute, that we'd be sending money into like Russian Federation. And then their brother, my God, because remember, they're like an American August. Like, so I think as far as I know, they fucked it. So the saddest thing was, in that moment, he was out. I believe he was going to be on a team and then we would have seen all this potential. Because I agree, by the way. Obviously, I'm not really focusing on Fours at this tournament, but that's another player. You watch the eye test of, he's just a really good player, mate.
He's fading. He's in Bed Bull right now and I worry because I think he's fading a little bit. And I don't know. Maybe he just doesn't have it in him to super carry for 2 years nonstop. Straight. I mean, at some point, maybe your motivation drops off a little bit, your level drops off a little bit. In Bed Boom right now, I feel like he isn't who he used to be in Forza when I got really excited about him. But I haven't given up. Like, it would be one of these sleeper pick where if someone somewhere has the ability, the capacity to get Zorthy out of here and give him a chance in an English speaking lineup, hell, you know what? Even fucking, I don't know if they can do it, but like, if Complexity is thinking of replacing Halls, like fucking hell, just go ahead, try, give the guy a chance. Give the guy a chance. Like, I swear to God, the eye test on Zorthy does not lie. I mean, for me, he is made to be in, at the very least, a top 8 team in the world. At the very least. And he's far from that right now.
That might be a legit outlier. Aside from that, though, by the way, you have to take the Dexter one.
I know.
Especially because, remember, you're heroic. Like, unless you want those millions I've heard you're going to spend for some pies. If you have the millions, man, I could get you all sorts of fucking players. Yeah. But if you haven't got the millions, this is the sort of player you're going to sign.
That's why it's just, I think, contextually, the whole, like, Dexter 2 heroic makes sense because, sure, Dexter might come with some possible negative, some downside. We've talked about it. We've covered it right now. And at the same time, Heroic isn't exactly the sexiest destination ever to join.
Yes.
So you kind of meet halfway through. You're like, yeah, you're not exactly perfect, but we want you. We need you. And he would say, well, you're not exactly Vitality, but they don't want me either. So let's fucking go. Let's fucking do this. Like, together we can actually elevate the team. We can become a playoffs team regularly. And then everyone wins. Everybody wins. I think contextually, it makes a lot of sense. Like, both sides of the equations have something to gain in making this change.
Let me just paint you the picture as well. Because the other thing people are missing is this. Normally, when people say that one move away, what they really mean is like actually more fragging, right? They don't actually look at the structure of the team. Bro, the reason why Nikodos had to go is because if you look at this team, Nurtz is already really strong, but he's also, remember, like, guys, this is like his fucking like second proper years, like a top player. Like, but everyone forgets, they always like in their mind retroactively put him in Ents right at the beginning with all the others, right? He wasn't. He joined early 23 guys. Like, he's actually quite inexperienced as a star player, so I can give him the ups and downs. Again, like I said earlier, comparing him to the more experienced ones, you learn that as it goes. If you add in the AWPer, right, Kixon's already called an international team, and Tessus and Shush know their roles, and their roles are defined. Like, that's the structure of a team right there, mate. Like, that's when, like I say, then it becomes Kixon and Solid. Go to work, boys. You got the bases now. Now let's get some results.
I'm right there with you. All right, let's make it happen, or make it happen as if I had some kind of agency in that. Sure. I hope it happens. No bad feelings to Nikodos, but bring in Dexter. See how it looks like. I'm ready for it.
Shall I tell you something funny, Maniac? Obviously, we're recording this before Complexity plays Na'Vi. Like, look, they're obviously, if people don't know, those teams are both in the playoffs, but the question is, can, you know, Cole Puller upset and show they've got a little bit more in the locker and all that jazz? Right, here's the funniest thing of all. This is just where, like, Halzerk, mate, you have to understand, life is like this, right? If people don't know, I am one of the people who hated that everyone gave Halsey like a 3-year pass because he used to be like better than the old boomers in Dignitas. And then when he joined Cole, they were so, remember they didn't have a leash when he joined, guys. They were such a worse team in comparison that he just wanted like some spice. First of all, he's European, that's cool. We got like a foreign player. Then secondly, you know what, compared to NA Opus, he was fine. He was good enough. He would have the odd half he'd carry. He'd have a map that he'd do well on sometimes. And at the time you weren't seeing, but compared to Dexter, or we weren't comparing him to a player like that. You were comparing him to, I don't know, fucking Junior or someone in NA, you know, someone that he probably is better than, he has more experience than. The problem with Halsey is this, you know, he's admitted himself, he knows he's on the chopping block. And you know, if you actually go and look, guys, he's actually had a mad glow for the last few months, like right at the period when he's probably going to lose his job if they don't make like deep runs, understandably, is actually the one period when he's sort of getting it together. So that's just life has a sense of humor. So all I'd say for you, Halsey, because it's Smith, you got a lot of years though. You didn't have a lot of years where you didn't do this and it wasn't working. Because the problem with that team is that team's not even a piece away, mate. Like I actually think in that team, Elise is just fucking money in the bank, mate. I think for real, Lord. Unless this Liquid Super Team really works out, they will look back one day and go, like, that's the sort of one maniac where, you know, if this was sports, in 2 years from now, the GM of Cole gets, like, Team Liquid, sorry, gets brought into, like, the owner's box office. You know, the owner's just the guy smoking the cigar in the stands. He doesn't know about the sport. And you go, how did our Elise star player get out of our... Why did he go to a rival team? Because, mate, that's one that looks like that's egg on your face right now, mate. Like, and also, I teased it on Twitter, so I'll say to you, you're right here, maniac. And you know... there's rumours, like I heard, like the Dexter rumours, just one from Twitter, by the way, guys. That's not something all I'll tell you is, this isn't really a rumour. What if I told you I heard when they were making this Liquid Super Team, Elise was a name put around and let's just say someone vetoed him. It could have been a way back. There could have been this team plus Elise. So already that's a little picante, little pepper for you right there.
Yeah, well, you can you imagine what Elise in Yekinder's shoes in that position, that would have been something.
That would be pretty fire, right?
Yeah, but you got to ask the question then, if knowing how strong Elise has been throughout his career, and he has been incredibly strong and consistent for many, many, many years now, it's not just a one-off, what could motivate someone to actually go ahead and put a veto on playing with Elise? That's the question that needs to be asked.
You know what's weird, maniac? You've come halfway to my side on this one, but you never take the last step. So what's weird is whenever you point out, like, but the person might be toxic or they might have a difficult... You know what I think is actually one of the things that annoys me is the reason why I always emphasize talent is not because I'm saying, and I've never said this about Simple, by the way, if you're like Edward and Zeus, just take it. Take it, bitch. He's just so good with the AWP. You have to just take the abuse. No, what I'm saying is this, is if this was someone where we can just trade him for someone equally as good but without the issues, then we don't have to worry. That means he's the problem. But I'll tell you what, if he's so good he'd make our team better, shouldn't we also take a step towards him? Shouldn't we actually try and find a reason?
Yeah, why is it,
why, you know what, why does this guy have these problems? Like what in fact, what is it like? Because by the way, usually things like that are things like you can't trust teammates, like maybe you feel like people betray you, or maybe you feel like when you do something for the team or help someone or give them the resources, they let you down or they don't do what you want. It's not that I'm excusing the behavior, but I'm saying, like, I also do think, like, when people have this kind of talent, because again, Elise is the best NA player ever, probably. If you have that sort of talent, it's like, I want to be the team where I make the environment that works for you, that suddenly you're not that guy anymore.
I know what you mean, and I'll meet you halfway in terms of if there is a new working relationship to be established or a relatively recent working relationship to be established, I think there is wiggle room in there. Like, when you learn to work with someone and for some reason it doesn't suit you at first sight, then usually in spirit of winning, you try and make it work, right? You try and say, okay, how can we compromise? Like, what is it that makes you angry? What is it that makes you emotional? Am I doing something wrong? Can I do something better? Can we meet halfway? But what if people have played together for years and years and years? Like, do you think there's a point where you just, it's run its course and there is I don't even know. It's like, it's almost, it becomes like a philosophical question, but is there actually such a thing as two players that cannot play together? And it's
seems
not,
like
and
it.
It's not say, yeah, it's not saying like player A is a toxic asshole and player B is perfect and oh, fuck player A in that regard. That would be Elise in that conversation. Oh no, fuck Elise. Oh no, it's all on him. Or is it just maybe that some players have tried for a long time and I've come to the conclusion that, hey, you know what, buddy, the way you're doing it, it's not for me. I don't want to do this. Maybe
well, then
right.
You know what? Everything in life is a gamble in a sense, mate, because everything comes with its ups and its downsides. So I'll tell you what, if that's the deal you're proffering, if you're in a Team Liquid, then enjoy Skulls and Yekindar. I'm going to sit back on a deck chair with a pina colada, and you guys, you can be playing Frisbee between the games. You could be fucking signing each other's Steam profiles. I'll tell you what, enjoy it. Enjoy all that. And let me know how many trophies you lift. And let me know how it all works out. And then remember, when you don't lift those trophies, at least I'm not with that fucking, oh shit, yeah, he's the guy who won the Grand Slam with. My bad. You know what I mean? And then, because the last thing to spin it back is, the problem I have with Col is, I'm actually very impressed by how they grind these results out, how they're able to, like, I even think if you look at, like, they've got massive odds today, there's a world they can beat Na'Vi. That's not an impossible one. This could be, like, an interesting veto. You can get to a third map. Anything can happen if you have the right carry performance. The problem there, team is Elysia's a world-class rifler. I actually think JT, by the way, is an underrated caller. I've seen him in all these teams now. With any level of teammate, he seems to call a good game. The problem they have is some of the other names there, who I noticed, by the way, this is where the other side of toxicity exists. You know what I think's toxic, Maniac? Is the nicest guys ever who just don't perform in the game, and they get paid fucking thousands of dollars. I hate people like that. To me, that's toxic, mate. That offends me as a fan of Counter-Strike. It's like, I hate it when being a nice guy lets you coast for fucking years. Like, well, like, for example, the obvious name in this team, everyone knows it, because 1 second before Leash got here, he was the man. Where the fuck's Grim at, mate? This isn't Team Liquid. By the way, in Team Liquid, I gave Grim every possible chance because I knew the dynamic of that team. I knew that when you have the massive egos, by the way, of the NA players, maybe they're not toxic at Legions, but they have massive egos. And then when you chuck, like, people like fucking, remember the names there, like Stewie2K, you have fucking Fallen coming along. Mate, you are never, someone like Grim's personality is always going to have a hard time with that. He's not the guy who's going to be, like, fighting for his own, as it were. Do you know the analogy? Like, there's a concept that you might like. You might like this because you're philosophy and psychology type of a guy. There's a concept of how human hierarchies form that says that, like, essentially all the archetypes get filled within a hierarchy, no matter who the people making it up are. So if you take, Maniac, the people who are all the alpha of their group of a bunch of men, like soldiers, for example, and you just drop 10 soldiers into a new division together, one of them will be the ultra alpha of the alphas, and one of them will become the runt of the alphas. And even though he was the alpha in his group, in this new group where he maybe isn't matched by the same, I don't know, fucking raw machismo, he'll become the one who's on the outside. And it works the other way around. If you take all the runts of the litter and you chuck them into a little group, one of them will actually go, hey, I'm on top of this, and he'll be the fucking so the problem Grim has, I think, is this: when he's the big fish in a small pond, everything's going great. The more other names and stars you put in, he becomes a background person. He fades into the background. Because I look at the rest of the team, I've heard Floppy's the guy who'll do anything, mate. He'll fill any role. JT's obviously not that super-duper fragger. Holzerk already knows he's on the chopping block. Elise does his job. If you're Grim, bro, you're the one that could win these games. Like, you're the one where if you did what you used to do in Call, we're in some more playoffs. We're doing runs, mate. Like, I want more from this player. I don't accept, like, it's good to just be in Call. Call isn't even at that level now, whether he's supposed to just be one of the best NA teams. Good. Guys, the opportunity is right in front of you. If you reach out for it, you can grab that rope and you can be in semi-finals and stuff. You can do some big things with this team, but you're always missing that little part, you know, and I think Grim has to take some responsibility for that.
No, I have to be honest, I have a bit of a conundrum here when it comes to the Floppy Grim conversation. Because I think Halzerk, there's no debate here. Like, we know Halzerk is tricky. Like, we know it.
Oh, everyone who's watched his game.
You know, that's a fact. You know, he is tricky. He's going to have, here and there, he's going to have a game. He takes over. That's great. He can play with the org. He's got a bit of exoticism in his play and all that. We know that. That's cool. But the reality is, consistently, there is just too much variation in the Counter-Strike he plays. That's it. Like, we know it. That's established. I'm not going to challenge that. The Floppy Grim conversation is when I struggle to really land on a firm opinion. I think that where I join you is that I think nowadays Grim has a couple of positions where he should do way more than what he's doing. Like, he's got a couple of moments where basically he's got all he needs. The way I look at it, on the CT side, when you get to be the second layer of defense, when an attack comes in, you're supposed to rack them all up. Yep. Like, that's the moment. That's perfect moment. Picture yourself as rotating from B to A on overpass. As the A hit happens, you have your line of defense in front of you. They're taking the first few fights. You're swinging out of a smoke, and you're supposed to look at people who don't look at you. Like, this is your moment.
You shoot people inside the head.
Exactly. Like, this is the greatest position to be in on the CT side, and there's a few maps where Grim is right there, and that should yield way more kill than what he does now. So that, you're right. I'm with you. The floppy one is a complicated one because we tend to forget how strong he was when Complexity made a splash at the end of last year. And he has completely disappeared. Just go look at the numbers. Just look at the numbers, end of 2023 to beginning of 2024. It's like a drastic, drastic drop-off. So now I'm standing left between a rock and a hard place. I can either say, well, you know what? He's pretty malleable as a player. He feels all the roles, so I'm not going to be too harsh on him. Or I can say, where the fuck is the 2023 performance? Where did that drop off? Where did it disappear? What changed? What changed? Why aren't you giving sometimes the entries we would see on Ancient B-Ramp? Like, I have clips in my mind of him just white swinging off B-Ramp on yes. Ancient, just fucking everybody up and having a grand old time. And we'd get all excited about Floppy. But like, holy shit. You remember there used to be a time where Floppy had an incredible hype around him in NA.
Yeah.
And we would think, oh my God, just give this guy the right team. It's going to happen. He's going to puff. He's going to be crazy. And now I feel like the conversation has changed to, well, you know, he's going to be serviceable.
He's not the worst. They just go the other way. He's not the worst anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So the conversation has changed, right?
And yes.
I'm a little bit worried about it because it has been really complicated in 2024 for him. I'm not going to say he is the one reason Complexity is losing. I don't think that's true. But I think he is definitely someone that needs looked into as well. So you end up with having basically at least you can rely on. I agree with you on the JT angle. I kind of like the way he calls. I like the way Complexity plays Counter-Strike from a purist standpoint. I kind of like it. And then behind it, you have Hozerk, who's inconsistent. You have Floppy, who dropped off from the end of 2023. And you have Grim, who cannot fill the shoes of any sort of rotation roles to have multifrag. So you have more than one issue. And sometimes it's hard to decipher them from the outside. I think there's plenty of factors that are going against Complexity's way. So an AWP, yeah. Would fixing a different AWPer make a difference? Yeah, probably. I don't think they're a team that's one change away from success. I think they might be more than one change away from real success.
Which is why, by the way, I actually do give extra props to JT, because I think he's working with like an underpowered roster that's kind of flawed, and he's having them this close over and over and over and over again. Like, he's kind of doing his job, as far as I can. In fact, he might be doing more than his job. No, the problem I have goes like this. This is why I'm sick and tired of people calling them an NA side beyond just the nationality of the players. Like, NA side pre fucking Cloud9 winning the Boston Major and Team Liquid's 2018 and 2019 lineups was supposed to mean you're never supposed to be as good as the top Europeans, but you know, it's cool that you have a North American team and hey, this is North America's best players. No, Complexity now, especially with Elise, who, by the way, notice I don't go and Elise is a great NA player. No, Elise is just a great player. Like, fuck the nationality. That guy would be great if he was from Denmark, if he was from Sweden, if he was from fucking Timbuktu, mate. It doesn't matter. This guy's just really good at CS. So if you're in Complexity now and we're told you have money, we're told that in theory you can make roster moves, right? Although they did say they wouldn't be making roster moves after the major. I just think this, like, you have to raise the expectation levels. They're not supposed to be underdogs all the time. We're supposed to be able to get to the point where we're just competing with all the top teams. Like, it's not, because that's the thing, like I say, I think a lot of the like nice guy syndrome in NA is like that. It's like, if you have a positive attitude and you do your best and you lose or whatever, we're cheering for you anyway. It's like, eventually, mate, I want it to be like a top sports club where we expect results. And if you can't get them, we have to replace you with somebody who could do that.
Right. I'm with you, but I think there is a distinction that needs to be made, and sometimes people are making a parallel that doesn't exist. Being a nice guy doesn't mean you don't have ambition. That's a different problem. That is a different problem. You can be a nice person, you can be a kind person, a kind energy around you, while being ambitious and want to have goal and want to do more, to be demanding with yourself, to be demanding with your teammate. This parallel doesn't exist. People just do it out of laziness. They think, oh yeah, you're just a nice guy, so last place at every tournament, hey, as long as we play Frisbee, we're having a good time. That's not the same thing. These are different concepts. You can be a nice, positive energy around you and still be a force for progress, for improvement, to be more demanding, to push your team forwards. You can do that. That's sometimes what I feel from the Complexity camp that they might lack of. Like, sure, maybe Elige isn't exactly perfect, but you fucking know he wants to win. And you know he wants his team to be better. And he wants people around him to be better. And he wants them to play better CS. You know that for sure. Why do we make this sort of one package rule of, but you know, they're just nice guys. They're happy to be here. No, that doesn't have to be together. This doesn't have to be included in the same package. You can, will, or wish to be more ambitious, even if you are a nice person, quote unquote. And I think they sometimes lack ambition. They lack ambition on an individual level. Like, a bit too content, maybe, with being... And you know what? I the reason I can't say this is because when I was playing at the time in Titan, I reached that fucking terrible level of entitlement and contentment when you feel like, well, actually, you know what? It's kind of cool to be a top five team in the world or top six team in the world. That's kind of cool. Yes. We balling. We have a good time. It's nice. I was there for a few months, so I know exactly how it is to not really wake up in the morning, look yourself in the mirror and say, okay, come on, we're going to do this. We're going to fix this problem. This is not okay. Yes. This is unacceptable. What's happening here? I have a feeling that some members probably don't have this attitude.
Yeah.
And so if it's only going to be Elige, or if it's only going to be JT and the coaching staff, which again, hypothesis, huh? If one day an interview comes out and they say that's absolutely not true, here's how it goes, then I'll say fair enough. But from an outside perspective, if it's only your leader and Elige who have the long teeth to say, fucking, let's do this. Like, this is not okay. We have to fix this problem. Then obviously it's going to be doomed to fail. You're going to have an imbalance. You're going to have people getting frustrated as well. Because people who are content, they don't want to work harder. Like, if you feel cool with where you're at, if you feel like being a top 10, top 12 team in the world is cool and a playoffs here and there, you are going to probably feel threatened when someone comes in and say, okay, let's do this. We got to fix this problem. This is not good enough. This is a setup that doesn't work out. We always lose this round. You got to think like, what the fuck? Just leave me in peace. Like, you know, I'm cool. I'm happy where we are. And that creates tension. So just again, because I went on a whole tangent, but just to recap again, we have to stop making the argument that nice guys can always just be happy with where they at. That's not what this is. You can be a nice person. You can be a positive energy and be ambitious at the same time.
I've got two angles for you. One, that's also why I hate the way things are labeled as toxic, like I say, because what you really just mean is, in a very obvious way, the person gets angry or is rude to people, right? And you act like that's the only thing someone can do to fuck up a team environment. What you just described there, Maniac, is one of the reasons why people think I'm too harsh on players that underperform in teams, because I can look at more than one perspective. So whereas, as you're saying, if you're playing badly, it's cool to still be like top five and to be in the mix and to be in all these playoffs and I'm going to be in the major playoffs maybe. But I'll tell you what, if you're the superstar of your team, could be Sharks, could be Kenny S, that fucking sucks, mate. Like, I'm trying to win shit for my legacy. Like, you know what? All of a sudden, you could be in a different way. You're being toxic to me. You're just like fucking saying, hey, it's cool that we just stay back here. And I'm one of the reasons why sort of like this, essentially you can't take off and fly because I'm too heavy. I'm saying I'm cool where I'm at, because I agree. One thing I do hate is I do get the vibe. I won't say which players. I get the vibe some of these guys, they're just happy to get to the tournament. They're happy to play international. So yes, not in NA Cups anymore. They think it's cool to have the jersey on and to have some fans and, hey, we're going to be in a major and get stickers. And they think that isn't cool if you're a Elige, by the way. If you're a Elige, it's time to win tournaments, mate. Like, I'm not here to fucking just have, like, some nice numbers and then retire and everyone go, remember when he was in Team Liquid or that earlier thing I did? Like, what if he was in Team Liquid? That conversation shouldn't even be happening with Elige. It should be like, he isn't in Team Liquid. Fuck Team Liquid. He's going to build a new legacy in Call, and eventually when you build the team around him, we're going to be better than Team Liquid. That's what you want the story for Elige to be. And then I'll give you one last thing, which is, to be fair, I haven't seen the Call players do this, but if we're talking about like the nice guy aspect, I'll tell you another area I think nice guys sometimes just mask the fact that they also, like you say, they have a deficiency in themselves. They lack ambition, or they don't think, here's one for you. There are some nice guys don't think they can ever be criticized. Like, I'll tell you what, I'm probably going to do some content soon around Emma, and people might think, if you don't know, I've been fairly soft on Emma, right? I've said, I do think if you look at the Na'Vi team, if he didn't win that major, I think that basically saved his job, mate. He's the obvious person you'd potentially replace. Like, you looked how he's performing. He wasn't up to anything what he did in Game of Legion. And quite frankly, he would just literally map-based, mate. I looked into it. There's certain maps he, like Nuki, could be good on. There were some maps he just could not play his positions, and he was just getting feeding. He was just chain feeding kills over and over and over again. And the problem I have is this. Because he's now won the major, he's gone from, publicly in the interview, I'll sort of take a bit of it. I know that, like, I'm being criticised, and that's why instead you frame it as like, but if I win, who cares, right? You're right. If you win, I can handle you having the bad numbers and not doing well. But don't you ever do what he's trying to do now, which is like, they're all just hating on me and they don't understand the game. Motherfucker. I had to go through this with someone who's a friend of mine now, Fifth Lauren. I wasn't like Lerpis at the beginning of CSGO. Lerpis, even when Nip won the tournament, would say, cut Fifth Lauren because you could have an even better team and then you'd never lose, right? Which, look, I think it's a very extreme guy. It's probably the most extreme take possible. My take was, I'll never say cut Fifth Lauren if you keep winning the tournaments, because if you win the tournament, something's working. Even if he's playing bad to my eye, again, maybe he brings a social dynamic. Maybe he contributed a tactic. Maybe even they somehow use the dynamic that he's not going to get a kill there to, like, he's the bait or something. There's a million, you know this, there's a million angles that can work that don't show up on a scoreboard. But The problem is, Fifth Laren then took that angle and he himself ran with, like, people just don't see it and they're saying I'm playing bad. I've often said this. When Fifth Laren won his major, ESL One Cologne, he was something maniac, like minus 77 for the tournament. Right? That might be the worst player to ever win a major stats-wise, if you don't know, guys. That is an insane lack of kill. That means, I mean, you know this. The joke is he almost let you go to the finals, mate. Like, there were games where he was just doing nothing and it was like he had 4.5 players in the server. And that gives the other team a chance to win. So my problem is this. If you're an Immer or one of the nice guys who gets criticised, make sure that they are wrong. Make sure that what happens is you are doing something and you are actually better than people see, but it's like, you know, they just miss the nuance. Like, maybe you're playing all the one and done positions on CT and you do get the one and you do make the call and you get the counter flash and then you die. If you can do that, then they are full of shit. Fans don't know about a lot of things. But don't do it if you are the one feeding and then the rest of your team carry you, or the rest of your team's the reason you're even in that position to not instantly be fired from your job. Like, make sure it's real, because you can also yourself, just as they don't like fans to have narratives, you can also play up a counter narrative. And in this case, if you're an Immer, like, you've got the best position ever to do that right now. You're doubling down on winning the major, mate. Everyone told you that couldn't happen. So what you're basically saying is everything people say about me is wrong. And it's like, mate, even if fans are stupid, there's usually the grain of truth. You know, they usually exaggerate, there's hyperbole. But if you're going to, I agree also, because it's the same thing for Floppy. It can't only be he's not the worst player, so he can never be caught. That's the same thing people are doing with Hooksy. It's like, eventually we have to ask, with all the players in the team, what should be the reasonable expectations for this team? And can everyone do their job? But if you can't do your job, I've often said this, mate, this isn't a fucking charity. Like, these teams pay a lot of money for these players. It is a bit like sports, where I don't want every team in the world to have to be cutthroat and pretend like they're like Real Madrid or something. But I'll tell you what, if you're one of the orgs that can be at that level, you've got to be a little bit ruthless. You've got to have sort of like where someone themselves, it's not about fans I'm worried about if I'm Immer. I'm worried about, is Blade going to go eventually? Maybe I can get a better player. That's what you should be worried about, Immer, not fucking some dickhead on HLTV.
I agree with you. I agree with you. The only aspect that sometimes is rough for us, and I think I know that because I used to be a player for so long, is that whenever or no matter how conscientious you want to be or how detail-oriented you want to be in your job, and I mean we as the pundits, the experts and all, we are always only looking at, let's say, 60, 70% of the reality that's happening in a team.
Maybe less, and for sure, yeah.
Yeah, maybe even less, right? So what do we have at hand? We have, obviously, the game that's happening, and we base most of analysis on that. Then we have maybe interviews where we get to hear a little bit about how the team is functioning, what people are doing. Sometimes we get lucky, we get to listen on a round, and maybe we can catch a little bit of the communications and all. And I think we only ever really have a partial view of what a player is contributing to a team. But here is the important side. I'm not saying this to say the nice guys who aren't fragging are actually doing a lot that we don't see. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is there's something we don't know about. What's behind that curtain? Only the teams know. And they have to know, and the player himself have to know if they are pulling their weight. In some cases, it feels like what we have from an external standpoint is enough to just say, fuck this shit, you out, that's it. I think in the Nikodos Dexter conversation we had, we already landed on the conclusion that, yeah, the trade is good. Do it, do the trade. But this is where the players who are struggling should really be capable of doing like self-reflection and knowing what is it they bring to a team. Are they doing enough? And do they have feedback from the team as well? Because just thinking that a victory vindicates you is a very dangerous, slippery slope. Like, a victory of your team does not vindicate you completely. Your team might win and you are still far away from doing what is it that you have to do, and someone else could come in and do what you're doing much better. So that's my only take on the whole like comments from Ime. I didn't really watch the interview, I just saw the thumbnail. But I think it can be very dangerous to think that because you have won, and again, the reason I say that is when we were in Titan, we had a bunch of grand finals. I won titles. It happened. Didn't mean I was an extremely good player. Didn't mean I couldn't do things better. So if you let that get to you and you use it as a shield and you just basically push aside all of the critics, guess what? What's nice for me is that I learned from that from my player years to now my talent years, because now it's the same as a talent. I could say, if ever there is a thread about me doing something negative, I could just say, motherfucker, I did all of the majors since COVID. I did all of the Cologne. Yeah. I did all of the Katowice. What do you mean? I'm a perfect specimen. I'm doing everything. No. That doesn't mean that there's nothing that you can do better. But that's a personal sort of mindset that you need to have. And some players don't have it. And that's why Counter-Strike is not a charity. If you don't want to do better, if you don't want to improve, if you're not capable of delivering, you will get cut. And it should be like that.
I want to talk, because we referenced some of the past episode, and we can update the narrative now, about Liquid. So obviously they're in the playoffs. They did have a super close game against Monty, I will say. That was way too close for comfort. But, for example, in the match they lost to Mouse, which everyone was in the playoffs already, I will say this. Remember, Mouse had a ninja fucking defuse. Like, that game could have been three maps. I would have loved to have seen the third map. That would have been very interesting. The problem I have with Liquid is this, mate, is a lot of the focus right now is obviously on Yekindar, because he's just not old Yekindar, right? Or Skulls, because people know his buyout's insane. And these two narratives just swirl around the team like rain clouds waiting to piss on the parade, as it were, right? But I have to say, even with all of those bundled together, it's still a pretty decent team, actually, mate. It still just looks to me like it's getting better and better. Like, I'm actually sort of in the position where I'm still unsure, because I get worried when someone like Yekindar can't just snap out of it, and they can't. They have the halves that are good, but they have the halves that feed too. That does scare me a little bit, but I do think, actually, people were way too quick to write this team off. Like, there's something here. Like, they're in all these games, mate. They're always in the game, no matter who they play. Even when they played FaZe, they were in it.
Yeah, I'm going to join you. I think a conversation we had with Caden in China when he joined the desk after a win, he said, well, actually something that I pointed out to him, but he agreed. He said, we haven't really played lands. Like, true. We haven't seen them.
Yeah.
And I think that's also why a lot of people already are writing this project off as a failure, is because they have been together for X amount of months.
Oh, that's true.
Which
yeah.
is usually it's my threshold. Like three or 4 months together, you guys haven't done anything. That's it. You know, it's time to think of changes. But I think not only because of the ranking system, but also because of the RMR and the format and the fact that they missed out on the major cycle, we didn't see much of Liquid. They didn't really get to go through the reps of playing LANs together, playing matches together, learning from it, seeing how they behave as a team, and like finding their marks and all that. We didn't really see any of that. So now it seems like with a little bit more reps under their belt, it's actually coming together. I mean, they're not a trophy lifting team. I don't think so. But we went from, this is a clownery of a Counter-Strike team, to no, actually, wait a minute, something's happening. Twist is delivering. NAF is delivering. I think Cadian is starting to create something that is coherent as a team and how they're playing the Counter-Strike. So it's much better than what some people expected at the very beginning. I was always very careful with having definitive opinion, because I just thought my sample size is just too small. I don't know. I don't know how that team is going to do. I haven't seen enough of them. But now we're getting to see them a little bit. Chengdu was not that bad. Here, the Mouse game, sure, I would have hoped for map number three to see what's happening. But we're going to get the answers in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, they're in the playoffs already. We're going to get to see more of them. That's going to be just next week. But on the, I have a different opinion on the Yekindar and the Skulls side. I worry more about Yekindar than I do about Skulls. Just in terms of like the path that you can be as a player, like idiosyncratically. I think Skulls, going from full-on Brazilian Counter-Strike to now being just like the anchor of this star-studded team in a completely different environment, playing in English and all, I'm ready to extend him an olive branch in terms of there might be a shock at the very beginning. You might get lost. You might feel like you have no space. Maybe he's not cut for it. Maybe in 3 months or in 6 months, they cut him because he wasn't meant to evolve in that sort of context, in that kind of a team. That's okay. That can happen. I'm not saying he will be an absolute revelation, but I think at this point in time, I am ready to extend an olive branch for him to find his marks. He need lands. Like, he need lands. He need more lands.
People
more
don't
games.
Realize how few he's played, mate. When he was in pain, exactly. They were playing Brazilian lands in the odd, like the RMR and Blast or something. Like, that's all you, all like in the fucking major, if you made the first drop, that's it. He actually, even though he's 22, he's quite inexperienced.
Exactly. So I would like to see more lands from him. And more importantly, I want to see more lands with time in between. I want to see him go to an event, do good, do worse, whatever it is. Then time passes. I want to see him in a different event. So I can say, well, this was what happened in Chengdu. This is what happened in Malta. 6 weeks later, here we are. Is there a difference? Is there an improvement? Is it actually worse? And then I can start to have a more fixed opinion. When it comes to Yekindar, I believe the alarm bells are very, very close to being rang. Just in terms of like the lack of confidence and the second guessing he's showing in his game, when you know how pivotal he is in his positions, I don't know for how long this can go on before someone in Liquid or maybe himself start thinking, hey, what would we actually do better with someone else in that position? Because I think in his defense, it's really hard to be in Kinder's roles and not be good and hide it. Like, you cannot hide it.
Yeah, you
cannot hide it. Yeah, exactly. You cannot hide that you are struggling right now. It's not a role where you can just get like the free, easy, blindsided kills and suddenly, that's okay. You know, I ended up with 17, 18 kills. It's not that bad. I have a 1 rating, moving on. No, you get stuck in a lot. You have to go all in on some of the openings you're attempting. You're a playmaker. You take space.
By the way, he takes nearly more openings than almost anyone else. But the problem is he just dies a lot, of course. So exactly. Yeah, it's going to make you look really bad. Yeah,
exactly. And I'm not surprised. And I definitely, in my career, I cannot relate. But by having talked to and known a lot of entry fraggers, they will tell you that this is a role where it can get very streaky and very momentum based. You can have periods of time where you feel like, holy shit, I can get nothing done. I don't have my timings. My tricks aren't working. People have figured me out. I don't have confidence. So is this what's happening with Yekindar? And then eventually there's going to be the roller coaster is going to go up again because he's going to grind his way back. Maybe. Sure. Maybe. I think he's shown what he could do in VP. There's no reason to think he could never do that. But I always wonder, like, how hard is it for him to be in this team right now and see himself fail to deliver what he needs to over time? That's what I worry about. And if that continues on that trajectory on LAN, then I think Liquid is going to start asking questions about their future. Maybe it's a little too early now, the same for Skulls. I mean, it might be a bit hasty to just say after, what is it, like 3 or 4 LANs they've played. Like, well, actually, you can know, that's it. It might be too hasty. But if this continues this way, can you really justify keeping an entry that's delivering what he's delivering now? Is there any way you can justify that?
I mean, the main problem as well for me is this. One of the things I went and looked at for Yekindar, because the problem I one of my biggest flaws, I always talk about the problem fans have and other analysts. One of my biggest flaws is when I know someone has mechanical talent, the biggest mystery of all time is where that goes. Is why does feel for the game make the talent suddenly not work? Or why does the talent just leave you sometimes? Why is it like the equivalent of the striker who just can't kick it in the goal anymore? You know, he goes from being a brilliant player, he's making the runs, he's getting the ball. Somehow he just, you know, brain fart happens, he misses, he kicks it over the bar, he kicks it into the post, he fucking passes when he should shoot, like he loses the confidence. That is the greatest mystery because it's in your domain, mate. It's all in the psychological world there. It's nothing to do with like the hands. You know that if I could download myself, I'd just shoot people in the head. Jokingly, obviously, I wouldn't do that. But you get the premise. If I didn't have his mind state, I'd love to. Obviously, I've always said this. This is why I used to tell Config, you're fucking your career up, mate. Because I used to say, when I talk to the others, they confirm what my eyes see. Your aim is bonkers. It's like, give me or some of my mates who are players your fucking aim, mate. We'll go to town. Never mind all this shit with like having personality problems. We'll just fucking use the aim and win the game, you idiot. So when you're your kind of, my biggest problem is this. When I looked into it, it's not, this is why it can't just be that like they're ruining him with his roles. Every map it's the same, mate. It's not like it's on this map he has like the spots and it works, but then on this other map, you know, they put him in a bad map to map to map, the performance is still just like it's not there. He has a half every now and then, that's good, and even that doesn't bring his stats up because the overall aggregate is too low. And then the other thing is as well, this is where I can't believe he's being bullied. I can't believe they're forcing him on the outskirts. It's his team. Bro, they kicked Elige for you to be in this team and be the IGL. They gambled the whole org that you could be the IGL. And remember, they're not Complexity or Heroic Boys. They're fucking Team Liquid. They're a team that, as you can see by the money spent on this lineup and getting people like Twists to come back, keeping people like Nafo, I can tell you, had the offers if they wanted them. You aren't here to be Call and be, hey, cool, in the playoffs. You're here to actually lift that trophy. If everyone else has a bad day, by the way, here's the obvious one. If your Team Liquid, did you not just see Na'Vi win a major with like an underpowered roster, like some questionable forms? Why can't that be you? You haven't got nothing Twists? Isn't Cadian supposed to be a world-class? Bro, if I told you we're making this lineup 2 years ago, you'd not be fucking hyped as shit. Like, holy fuck, that's like a major winning lineup. Now we're just going, well, they're making the playoffs. That's good. Hey, maybe they can do something. If they get to a third, not even I'm fucking doing it. We've all lowered our expectations. Well, I'm sorry, Yekindar. That's actually the org you're in now. And then lastly, I'll just throw this in there. One of the reasons why I don't also worry about this team long-term is the reason I worry about Complexities of the world is I do think they have some nice guys in the negative win spots there. They have some people who will just be too long-suffering. They'll just put up with it for a while, and they go, well, good job. Or they'll let themselves, they'll lie to themselves that when you do the one upset, like, oh, finally, they showed their real level. It's like, no, that's called an outlier, mate. They're not going to do that next tournament. That's not real. It's fool's gold. Don't think it's real. But I'll tell you what, the man I trust in team is Zeus. Mate, this guy, I can tell you, is fucking hungry. He doesn't want to just be remembered as the guy who won with Billigages years and years ago. And remember, no one even gives him credit for those majors. They go, Cold Zero was the best player in the world and Fallen was the genius professor who fucking, you know, reinvented Counter-Strike. Like, they don't give you the credit, Zeus. People even forget because he wasn't in the 2019 Liquid. He was the one who brought Team Liquid to the top in the first place. He took Team Liquid from they're good for an NA side to they're the stone-cold second-best team in the world. And the only team they can't beat is the best team to ever play Counter-Strike. So I know that this guy, he's not going to sit around forever and let someone like Yekindar just fucking do this forever. So luckily for me, I think there is essentially like, there's a trigger that will be activated if he doesn't get it together. Now, I will say he's also in that position of Halzerk and Nikodos and let's say maybe Dika in Ents. You know you're on the hot seat. And by the way, that doesn't make it better. That makes it much, much worse. Knowing that when you fail, you're almost seeing on the screen with no scoreboard. It may as well say about to be transferred in 10, 9, 8, 7. You know what I mean? Like, it makes it even more pressure. But the problem is, this is why, to bring it back to sort of an Immer Fifth Laren angle, it's not unjustified though, is it, mate? Like, at the end of the day, if you were doing your job awesome and another teammate was having trouble, eventually you'd also say, look, even if I like you, even if it worked, even if you were a great player, eventually you got to fucking shit or get off the pot, as we say in English. Yeah. You got to do it. We've got to deliver. Because we are Team Liquid. We are a big squad, mate.
And you have to realize as well is that, unfortunately for Yekindar, changing him for another European player doesn't put Liquid in the European category of RMR.
I made this point on Snake and Banda. This is the part they're missing. The NA players could fuck around. Twists could have come and had a hard few months, mate, because they need to have like the two NA, the two non. You're right. It doesn't change the RMR slot. And that is a massive deal right now if you want those easier stickers through NA. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think that... finding someone who is willing to put himself in these positions is easier than finding the next diamond in a rough as a fucking B anchor. I swear to God, you look at all of the like mega talents that's coming in the pipeline, Yimpa is an outlier. In the sense of Yimpa came out and, he's just a ramp player on Nuke and he's happy to frag 24 people because he's that great. Like, new players, I don't think they're getting excited about being just... anchors. No. They love to get stuck in. You know, they play FPL, they play the frags, they play the duels, they want to get in there. So now you look at how Yekindar is playing. You take a demo of him, you take his roles, you remove his nickname, you remove the tag, and you go and you show that to some of the young kids out there and you say, hey, you want to do this role? You want to be the one running in the strategy? Go ahead. Like, people are going to say, fuck yeah. Like, that's the Counter-Strike I want to play. Send me in. Send me with flashes. Get me stuck in there. Like, there's going to be people who line up for that. And I think He's not going to be in that position delivering that for too long before they make a change. Because I will also, and I'll finish on that, when you say, you know, Zeus is hungry as a coach, I don't really know him personally, but I'll take your word. He does seem, from just a non-verbal behavior when he's playing, he does seem to want it. Like, there's he wants it. I think it's the same for Kadian. I think Kadian is still extremely hungry to win. Like, if you think about the dimension...
It should be even more hungry now that Astralis is cooking, mate. It should be even more hungry.
And you think about how what it would do to his sort of legacy to be able to, after having the Heroics... I know Heroic hasn't won a major and they didn't win IEM Cologne, but, you know, he still took a squad that we didn't really pay attention to too much. We thought they were just like... First, we thought they were online merchants. Then we thought they were just group stage merchants. And eventually we realized that, maybe the last game of the tournament or the two last games of the tournament are where nerves set in. But he made more out of the piece that I think anybody would have foretold when it comes to Heroic. And now he gets to do it in an international team. Like, he's got the chance to showcase that he can do it in both ways. He can do it domestically. He can do it internationally. He can do it with a brand new roster. He's got no reason to be satisfied at all. And Twist is in the same boat. Twist made the incredible decision to say, I don't want to be just a piece and a well-oiled machine. No. I don't want that. I don't want to win more trophies just by being a player that does a job. No, I want to be a star. That's what I want to do. If that's not a hungry just sort of attitude to have, then what the fuck is this? Like, if that doesn't mean you actually want to bite the hell out of Counter-Strike, I don't even know what that is. So I think Twist, Kadian, Zeus, they guarantee you a level of demand that is extremely high and healthy for a team. And then you have Naf, who probably is going to be the eternally underrated player in the history of Counter-Strike until the end of time. But somehow he's still here. You've managed... I don't know how they're doing. I don't know what kind of voodooism they're doing on Nav so they could actually keep him in the roster, but they manage. He's still here. He's still fragging. He's still the highest rated player as a fucking anchor. That's great for them. So now I think they have enough. They don't have enough, but they have a core that is extremely strong. The one I'm ready to believe in. No problem. But let's see in 3 months if changes need to be made. It might just be early now. We are in May now. Let's see in September or so when Pro League is happening the next season. Let's see where they're at. Then we can probably do a postmortem on the lineup.
This is where I also hate knowing the things that I can know. And also now in the modern day, thankfully, people announce when they sign the players again and they announce when they extend the contracts again. I sometimes wish I didn't know that so I could just do Football Manager and say, fuck it, take this person from over here. Because one that I do hate is, if you ever look it up, Exertion in Mouse signed his contract in February, maniac. Well, here's the problem. Mouse is a good team, but they're at that end status. You have a team that overperforms for where your org is. And mate, if you could have Frozen, the best player by far in your team, go to phase, imagine if you could bring Exertion into Team Liquid in your Kindar spot, mate. This guy's 19. He is a stud doing exactly... It's the same path he can now walk. He's this mega stud entry aggressive rifler. That's the sort of player where if I can just do Football Manager and take him over and say, you know what? In fact, you know what? I'll even be fair. I don't take him right now because Mouse is on a bit of a heater, right? But I'll tell you what. In 4 months or after the next major, if Mouse doesn't win and they don't win a tournament, that's when you're going to start to do what you did to Ents at the end, which is nice job getting to where you're at. Same with Heroic, nice job getting to finals, nice job winning a small tournament. But now you have to ask, why don't you win the big one? Why don't you win the major? Why don't you win all the tournaments? In fact, you've got such a good team. So that's the sort of player where, again, if I'm your Kindar, mate, we don't even have to take unknowns. Like, there's people who can do this job today that exist in the scene, you know.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. Exertion right now would probably never leave Miles. But I think they need a few more losses and defeats.
You never say never, though. Never say never.
Not today.
No, sure, I'm with you.
Today, I don't think so. Sure. But a couple more losses, and maybe one day they'll consider. But they truly have some like a crazy bond. I feel like between this team, like this whole NXT generation, they have something. I think the Mouse can.
By the way, I'm not going to disagree. I think you're right. No, but that bond can exist on one part of the scale. And on the other scale, you put enough losses in the playoffs and then you throw in 40K a month salary. You know what I mean? Like, suddenly it's like, well, we had a great time together. Listen, I loved our years together. I'll never forget the bond we did have as brothers. And you know what? At the next event, let's get drinks on me. Team Liquid jersey.
The problem with the comparison is that Frozen left to go to FaZe.
True.
Like, Xerxes would leave to go to Liquid. Like, let's not pretend and act like it's a same level kind of
move. If he went though, mate, the difference is his Liquid would be, that could be big. That could be big time, mate.
I know, but that's an if. When Frozen joins FaZe, there's no if. He is joining a winning team already. But if you join Liquid and you Exertion right now, we use the word gamble a lot in this podcast. I feel like that's a gamble. If you're Exertion, you just say, fuck it, I'm going to Liquid. Then holy
shit, right, we're going to do that, if we're going to talk about being a gamble, I just said earlier, every decision is a gamble. So staying in Mouse is a gamble. And here's the thing, maniac. Right now, we're about to find out. It's my favorite part of every tournament for Mouse. We're about to reach the playoffs. Now, yes, it's not the playoffs in front of some giant football stadium. Mm-hmm. It is the EPL playoffs. You get a few matches there to cook a little bit. In this case, you skip forwards. But even so, you're going to have like one or two where it's not the highest stakes playoffs ever. But I'll tell you what, if you are Mouse, I've been saying this for a while now, I do treat them like when Ents first got Nerds and got pretty good, right? Which is, the potential's clearly there to go and win a tournament. But you don't blame the team when they get it together. When you get experience, when you're having those battles of losing, and playing a hard team. Sometimes you play the best team and they smoke you. Sometimes you play the shitter team and they just fluke past you. The problem I have is this. This is when I start the clock. I don't blame really Mouse what happened at the majors, mate. I even do think actually that stupid stage invasion made it give them an out that's a totally justifiable out. Because if you don't know, by the way, guys, it's not just their team that thought, like, what the fuck is going on? There was players on G2 side. I've also heard that, what the hell's going on in this scenario? The difference is they're veterans. So my problem is this. Now is when I'm going to start the clock for Mouse, because I've already seen it, boys. I've seen you beat Spirit heads up on LAN and put them in the dirt. I've seen you rinse through group stages and Swiss systems over and over and over again. I've seen four players that are the non-IGL players post ratings, which, by the way, would win you a tournament, which make your team one of the best fragging sides in World Counter-Strike with players who fit their roles. It's time to actually for real win. Now it's time to be in a final. Let's get in the semis. You know what? Even if we don't win, here's what I want you to do. If you draw Mouse in the playoffs, Na'Vi in the playoffs, I want you to beat Na'Vi. That's a team that's right there for the taking. I want you to take down this Team Liquid squad again if you face them. I want you to beat basically anyone except like the teams that are the lock. brought, it's, and there's no team spirit here. It's time to go to the, it's time to go to the finals. Time to give me that playoff run.
I know where your heart is, Duncan, but I think you're making just one mistake.
Come on.
It's the setup of Pro League. Because you know what is the last trophy that Mao's ever put on a cabinet?
Yeah.
Pro League season 18. In the same studio. So if anything, and you know me, you know my, I love, I'm a
romantic. Oh, you think they're going to run back to the narrative, right?
Okay. I absolutely love it. You know, like a coming of age of a lineup. I love that. You know, I would never fight against that. But winning Pro League is the one trophy where, for me, would absolutely not mean that they've made a
It's true.
It wouldn't be. Look, I'm going to give you the list of teams they won when they won Pro League 18.
Yeah, come on, hit me.
They started with FaZe 2-0. They beat G2 2-1. They beat the Ents lineup at the time 2-1. And they 3-0 Na'Vi. That's the Mouse run in season 18. So I feel like that box has been checked. Like they feel great here. It's a intimate setup. There's a few hundred people. They're a bit rowdy, but there's no thousands and thousands of people. There's no firework or whatever entrance. If Mouse win here, I mean, I'll be glad for them. There's a nice group of kids. I wish them success. For me, it wouldn't mean that they've made a step. This isn't the place.
You don't realize what you've just said. You've made the stakes even higher. What if they don't win here?
Oh, but that's terrible. Oh, but I'm aware of it.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
I'm aware of it. No, problem.
All right.
I'll just put it this way. Anything but a grand final would be a disappointment for Mouse. That's how I look at Pro League. Like, see how they've been playing.
Okay, I like it. You're putting some chips on the table here. This is good.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that Mouse here can exceed my expectations, but they can certainly go below it. And they can also just assume their status. If they go to the grand final, and if they lose a grand final to whoever the hell, FaZe, Vitality, and 3maps, or whatever superheater of a game, yeah, cool. That's fine. That's fair. That's all right. You're where I think you are in the current status. But yeah, of course, if they fuck it up and lose the quarterfinal to whoever, then that's a problem. Then the hatchet will fall.
I have one last team, because I've got to tell you, mate. Ents is fucking cooked.
I know.
Turn off the oven, take them out. In fact, it's overdone. Chuck it in the bin. Bro, the joke about this team is, I mean, I have to even say, I'm not going to like exclude Clay from this. They're not playing great Counter-Strike. The only player I'll actually give the plaudits to is Hades. Actually, fair play. This guy did actually sort of over the years rehabilitate his reputation. Actually, the more you put him on land, the more he looks good. This team looks really, it's in a mess, mate. It's a fucking, this team can lose to anyone right now. Anyone.
I know. And I wish I could bring some incredible spice and fire, but the problem is you're a few weeks too late. I've already given up on Ents, and I've been vocal about it. I've already said that I thought what happened in Katowice was a one outlier event. It was an extraordinary circumstances. I thought that once they would actually get down to it and trying to build some Counter-Strike, it wouldn't work out. I said that I thought this weird combination of one incredible Danish IGL just blend in with poles all around him made absolutely no sense. It would probably hinder the way that team actually mesh outside the server and how instinctive that can be. I never thought it made sense. I don't think it was a first intention anyway at the very inception of that team.
They said they had 12 hours to make the lineup.
Exactly. So all things considered, listen, they made the RMR, that's great. They had the Katowice run, that's great. I think it's time. Just reconsider.
I'll tell you the obvious thing you have to do, Maniac. You know everyone's loving that Ents every year. We're making money. It's time to take those millions of dollars for the stickers and the millions of dollars for the sales. I'm not saying spend it all. You're not FaZe Clan or G2. But you know what? It's time to reinvest some. Buy a couple of players. You can get out of this mess.
Yeah, exactly. So what you're saying is out of the two possible roles that they have, one being obviously you go full Polish and that's it, or you go international, you would have to go international.
I'm going international, come on.
Yeah, but that would mean you better have the pockets. Because if we were struggling to find who else would take the spots, like let's put the problem in a different perspective. Who currently would actually decide to leave their team to go to a fence that is, that is rebuilding?
Here's the scenario I'll tell you, the way people don't realize. This is where Ents's mini gamble paid off twice and they tried to go for a third. Like they got greedy, the gambler's fallacy, right? I won twice, I can keep winning. Twice they gambled. One was because they probably had personal connections to the players and they'd made it with that last end squad, they really did let those fucking guys wait until the 11th hour to be like, I'm taking the other deal and leave. Because they hoped all of them would stay. They hoped fucking Sapi would stay, St. Pius would stay. That apparently, I've been told they had the money to match. They could look, if you guys love it here so much, we can make it work. We can even match what those big orgs are offering you. And in doing so, there's gamble number one. You wasted months and months, and at the end, you had nothing. You had the money, but the money doesn't get you in a majors. So then, gamble number two, in 12 hours or whatever it was, you got this makeshift Polish squad, and somehow you qualified to the major and got a little run at Katowice. Now, do you go, you know what you're supposed to say if you gamble, quit while you're ahead. They didn't. They went, you know what? We're geniuses. This is that we've actually figured, you don't know, we've, you know, some dark arts. We figured out, actually, yeah, four Polish players, like some 9-9 players plus Glaive is the secret formula to, like, it's like one of those fucking bad ads on the internet. You know, analysts hate them. They're like 100% results guaranteed. Like, add four Danes to your legendary Danish IGL mix and it'll work. So the problem they have now is, like, look, you got a lot from it. You got the millions from the major. You got the fucking calorie. Quit while you're ahead. Pick the players that, you know what? I think actually Hades can stay. He can stay, mate. Got Hades, I've got Glaive. Pick another player. Do you prefer Goofy to Kyler? I can trade on this one. We can have some negotiation. I'll tell you what, though, even though I liked him in Ents, Diha not only knows he's in trouble in those interviews, he is in trouble, mate. In these games, he doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't look like he's in his spots, and he is not the player he wants. He used to be the player where everyone used to tell you he's the sleeper carry of the team. Like, if you knew what he was doing and how he has to play, like, his talent level's so insane. He's the one I heard that, like, when he used to be in the teams, that he was the big fish in the small pond, and he had people like Snacks back in his teams back in the day. He was the ego monster, sort of like, give me this, let me do that. You're not playing well enough. Mate, he's going to get fired from his job right now. It's sad, but it's going to happen. Yeah. He's going to be one of the people, certainly, that gets this cut. So if I'm them, you don't have to... Listen, I'm not... Like I said, I'm not saying spend it all. That'd be stupid. That's not the org you are. But you know what? This is where, by the way, also, you've got Cuban, you've got Glaive. These people have the eye test, boys. Go out there in the transfer market and you pick up your wrinkle. You pick up a guy who has some talent, but not every big org's going after him. You spend a little bit and you know that, like, look, maybe all he has is fragging. We're going to shape him. But I tell you what, you've got the coach, you've got the IGL. Let's bring these talents in. Let's start shaping the squad because you only need, like, a couple of pieces and we can have another conversation.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this would be the healthier road they can go. And I also think that, unfortunately for Glaive, I think all of the losses right now in Ents are tarnishing his current sort of credit. But I don't really think it's rightful. Like, I know the Counter-Strike that Ents has played and some of the absolute tragedy of sides they've already had here at Pro League, oh my God, like, sometimes they would just lose like 8, 9, 10 rounds in a row and it looked dog shit in terms of, like, the Counter-Strike purely. I don't think you can just say, oh, well, that's just Glaive calling a bad game of Counter-Strike. I just think either he has a couple of bad ideas, or also they just don't have the depth in the playbook currently, or they don't have individuals who want to play the Counter-Strike he wants to play. Like, it is so hard. So people need to understand, like, there has to be also an accord between the team and the leader on how you want to play Counter-Strike. And this is how we're going to come back into a game. And this is what we're going to do in map control. And this is how much space I'm going to give you guys, how much freedom I'm going to give you guys. It's just, it doesn't look like it's working. And I'm not just going to say, oh, Glaive is a misunderstood leader here. He's so great. Everybody else is failing him. No. I'm also not just going to say he's fucking washed, giving away. I just think it's not working. This isn't working. Whatever is happening here is not working. Just go your separate ways. But what I will say is that if you look at the people who have been winning, the leaders who have been winning in the last few months or even like a year and a half of Counter-Strike, these are all veterans. The leaders that have been winning are all veterans. Almost without a single exception.
Even Chopper, people don't know. Mega veteran, yeah.
Chopper is a veteran. He's been winning. Alexi B is winning. Apex has been winning. These are old school players. The only one exception to the rule is, you could argue Hooksy is a bit fresher and greener in his endeavor.
And he hasn't won in a while, mate.
And he hasn't won in a while. So that's like the only sort of exception to the rule. Otherwise, like Kerrigan, sure. Alexi B, Chopper, Apex. Like, these are... Like, you think you need new blood in Counter-Strike? Sure, you need. I think every team needs a little bit of that hunger and the new blood and the mechanics that what the new generation can do, who the older probably can't. Yeah, I'm cool with that. But you need to have experience. You need to have veterancy. And believe it or not, even if Counter-Strike is different now than it was 5 years ago, how you win at its core isn't that different. How you behave as a team, how you are a winner, how you behave as a winner, how you learn. That goes beyond just what is the meta of Counter-Strike right now. And that's why these leaders are valuable. That's why I'm never going to put away Glaive. Like, his numbers could keep dropping. If I know, and that's a big if, but if I know he's hungry, I'm not giving up on him. I won't. Until someone tells me that actually he's just coasting and doesn't give a fuck and he just wants to get some money, then yeah, get out the way. But if that's not his attitude, I'm not giving up on him. I know. He has my credit for as long as it needs to be.
I'll go one further, mate. This is where you actually, as an org, incredibly cynically, should lean on Glaive's reputation. Bro, I might not have G2 Vitality money, but do you want to play with Glaive? Bro, that's a fucking sale. You can't all tell me, guys, that I'm supposed to believe Furia signs Fallen. Like, but he's a legend. Mate, Glaive was fucking still top when Fallen was already washed as an IGL. Like, if people will want to play with Fallen and bring him in all these teams, surely some up-and-comer wants to play with Glaive. Surely yeah. They look at that guy and go, I want to be the next star that plays with this guy. I mean, I'll give you one. Look, again, sadly, if you know, like, circumstances, I'm sure there's reasons he couldn't do this. But I'll tell you one person immediately, if I was Entz, I'd be ringing the fucking phone for. Bro, imagine if you brought Zantares in.
Okay. I see what you're doing.
You know what I mean? That would be fire, mate. Give Glaive Zantares. Remember, Zantares is a fucking mega aggro player as well. Give him that piece.
Why not send Zantares to Liquid instead of you?
Why not? I don't hate it. By the way, Zantares is good enough. I'll take him on a lot of these teams. Yeah.
Holy shit.
This guy's money.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Why not, right? Again, I don't know if he can leave because there's almost like a nationalistic component to Eternal Fire of like, it's the Turkish super team and we're all going to do it together and believe it. It actually reminds me of when the Brazilians came up. So the problem is, I don't know if you're like a traitor if you leave or some bullshit. If we're doing normal Football Manager, though, he's a great signing, right? He's a mega eligible player. And he's experienced, like we're saying, he's not 18. I know this guy's going to shoot people in the head with an AK. I've seen him do it for years.
Yeah, that would. I was outside the box. I didn't think of it. You're right.
I mean, I have to. Who else can I get? I can't fucking sign Flames. Kind of like, I have to sign someone who's good, but in a spot where they're sort of overqualified, right?
I wonder about Heavy God from OG.
That's not a bad one, too.
He's on my radar. Yeah, he's cooking. Something might be going on with him where, like, in a year or a year and a half, we might go back and say, oh my God, these were the first few steps. Like, it was right there in front of our eyes. He's got something. So that could be a sign. But I agree. I think Glaive has to be an argument. Like, if I had that when I was coming up as a player, that I had a few IGLs that I was looking up to, and I was like, oh, the concept, the idea of playing with them, holy shit, I'm going to learn so much, it's going to be so great. I think it's got to be used as an argument if you're Ents and if you're rebuilding, because let's face it, their decisions have to be made.
Yeah.